They're like, oh, you're a loser. Oh, you suck, Charlie Brown. Oh, you're an idiot, Charlie. Oh, what? I can't believe.
Live from the basement, it's Building a Better Dave. Check us out at betterdave.com. Email us at dave@betterdave.com. Or call in your comments, 888-563-3228. Now, here's your host, Dave Jackson.
All right, welcome to Building a Better Dave. I am Dave, and I want to kind of wrap up 2011 here. The last thing I want to do is go into 2012 talking about 2010. The only thing that's safe about 2010 is I don't get in trouble talking about it because it's already happened. It's when I talk about what's going on now, the present, that I tend to get myself in trouble. So, you know, and basically this story's been pretty depressing and I could spend hours going into details, but I really would rather get back to the sarcasm and the yuck yucks. You know, like, for example, I want to share this with people. We were watching Charlie Brown, you know, the Charlie Brown Christmas on Hulu the other night as we were putting up the tree. And I said, you know, there's that part where he brings in the tree and they're like, oh, you're a loser. Oh, you suck, Charlie Brown. Oh, you're an idiot, Charlie. Oh, what? I can't believe. And I said, you know, if this was today, if this was a school today, all those children would have been suspended for bullying and Charlie Brown probably would have gone home and been a cutter or been on, you know, some sort of antidepressant. And I was talking to my friend Robert Chaz Chute. Check him out at allthatchaz.com. And he said, yeah, Charlie Brown would have been goth. He's got the attitude. Everything sucks. Life sucks. Good grief. I said, yeah, I could see Charlie Brown in a trench coat. You know, it'd be kind of hard to dye his hair black. It actually is dyed black. It's just such a shame that he just has the one. But at any rate, I want to wrap up talking about my experience with 2010 that, you know, November 28th, 2010, my wife and I had a stupid contest and I won. And there are those that think I haven't paid enough for my stupidity, one of them being my stepdaughter, who at times would prefer not to be in a room with me, or it's just a coincidence that family plans that involve me often don't involve her or vice versa. In fact, there was one time while my wife and I still had the restraining order against this, that it just so happened that we stumbled upon each other at a restaurant parking lot. Don't know, what are the chances of that? And, you know, found out, the stepdaughter had called her mom to say that she got accepted into college. And I was just so, like, my heart was just beating out of my chest with pride because this is just a phenomenal kid. You never had to tell her to, you know, to do her homework. We'd be like, hey, we're going out for ice cream. And she's like, ah, I got to stay home and do homework. I mean, she's really phenomenal. Great kid. And I just wanted to say, I'm so proud of you, way to go, et cetera, et cetera. And so my wife said, hey, you know, Dave wants to say something to you. And she handed me the phone and all I heard was click. And it's when you get into, well anyway, it's these kind of never saw it coming moments that make that incident into my top 10 most painful experiences. I mean, that ranks high up there, mainly because I adore all of my stepkids. And the fact that she doesn't want to be around me, as you might imagine, bothers me deeply every single day. And when she's around, I just feel like the air is gray. It's kind of hard to breathe. I'm just uncomfortable. Now, in addition, it does make my wife's life harder. At one point, my wife was put into a position of choosing between her daughter and her husband. That was not cool. And it was hard for me because one minute I was falling on my sword so she wouldn't have to choose. And the next I was hurt as I was cut off from my wife. I flip-flopped on back on that a million times. Again, making my wife's life really hard. And I understood my daughter's feelings. She does not feel comfortable having a person who she does not trust live with her mother. I completely get that. The one time we tried to sit down and talk, she asked me, how could this happen? And like an idiot, I tried to explain it instead of just saying, look, I lost my crap. And I wasn't thinking. That was the whole problem. And it actually turned into somewhat of an argument. And then I don't know if it was because we were arguing or what, but I actually called her mother's name, at which point she stormed out. And that was really the last time I've had any kind of contact about this subject with my stepdaughter, which is a shame because her mother and her my wife has great relationships with all her kids. And when she's in town now from college, it makes it very weird. The other thing I keep in mind with her especially, she listened to us argue for years, and I understand what feeds her fears, and for that I apologize that she had to listen to that. At one point I got on the phone, I just told that story. So let's kind of get to the bottom line here. I mean, I had a fantasy that my stepkids missed me as much as I missed them when I was away. And I'm not sure what I was smoking to think that. I think I had some strange I Love Lucy world going on in my head where I was going to come home and go, Lucy, I'm home. And, you know, the kids would go, yay, and come running and give me a hug. And yeah. So I ended up pleading guilty to a lesser charge of disorderly conduct, which is basically a misdemeanor one step above a traffic ticket. And I thought I would be coming home. Instead, I stayed away more months until my stepdaughter went away to college. In fact, I actually came up to watch the dogs while my wife took her to college. So why am I saying this? Well, again, one stupid act of hostility can be extremely expensive. So while my stepdaughter will tolerate my existence enough to eat a meal with me and be in, you know, my house or apartment or wherever I'm at, my brother refuses to be in the same room with my wife. I am not exaggerating. Now, I'm trying to follow the Bible and follow its advice on marriage. Now, admittedly, obviously, I need lots of help there. But it does say that the two shall become one. And when it came to my niece's high school graduation, I had to decline, which just killed me. Killed me. As my brother would not tolerate my wife long enough for us to come make an appearance and drop off a present, which also deeply hurt my niece. That sucked. Why my brother won't tolerate my wife is a whole other podcast and probably something I'm just not going to go into. But one might say that at this point, while my brother says he loves me and I can stop by anytime I want to say hi, I've lost a great deal of my relationship with my brother, who has been my rock for many years. And so, for those who think I haven't paid enough, add that to the list. When my wife told the church where I was a minister in training what had happened, to make a very long story short, they asked me to resign. Now, originally I got upset about this, but in the end, I did. And at first I didn't understand why. I wanted to have a Jimmy Swaggart, I have sinned before you moment, right? To apologize. But now I understand that one of the priorities of a shepherd is to guard the flock. And if my little church would have had to vote and we had, say, 7 people leave over the results, that would have been about 10% of the congregation, if not 15. So I understand their decision. And in talking with other pastors who now pastor the church that they grew up in, all of them had to leave and come back because I will always be seen as a little Davy. I mean, I kind of jokingly said that, you know, I might as well have just yelled pull when it came to this church. Every time I threw out a new idea, they wanted me to bring in new people. They wanted me to bring in younger people doing the exact same things, the exact same way that had not worked for the past 18 years. So I love those people. Those are my family. But in terms of, you know, they didn't see me as a leader. They didn't follow me. And that's basically the definition of a leader. People that, you know, somebody that has followers is a leader. And I was really handcuffed in terms of leading that church. And it's really hard to go from, you know, somebody that you look at almost as your second mother, and now you're kind of her boss. That was just going to be odd. And so I have moved on from that church. And even it says in the Bible, even Jesus wasn't respected in his own hometown. So I've kind of not bummed about that. I'm bummed I miss those people, but I kind of understand why it is what it is. What's interesting about all those situations, be it my stepdaughter, my brother, the church, you know, Jesus forgave a woman who was caught fornicating, like in the act fornicating. And he told a crowd, hey, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And he said that, you know, you're going to be the same way. The level of judgment that you apply to other people is that same judgment you're going to be judged by, you know? And does anybody else see that maybe nobody's listening to that verse? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? But in essence of me saying that, I'm judging people how they're judging me. So I just let that go. After pleading guilty to a lesser charge, I got 1 year probation, which I'll have to, how are we doing on time? Let's talk about that. Here's probation. You drive to see your probation officer who says, how's everything going? And I say, well, I lost my job. Oh, wow. Sorry to hear that. And, have you moved home yet? No. My stepdaughter still hates my guts. Okay. Well, that's good that you're being compassionate. And, okay, I guess that'll do. So I would drive 45 minutes to have that meeting. You know, oh, I'm still going to anger management. Okay, good. Keep up the good work. So I don't quite get, I guess they're just making sure that, I don't know, you haven't left the state. But probation and your meeting with a probation officer, I didn't get it. And I kept saying, can I do this by phone? It's costing me a lot of money and gas, but that's probation. You know, I did get ordered to get evaluated. I'll have to find that page someday and read that to you. So you can read my psychiatric evaluation because I'm crazy. And I took anger management classes, which I will discuss in the future. I don't have my notes from that, but there's some good stuff in there. So we'll be talking about that next year. The fun thing is in July, I did lose my job when I couldn't physically. Here's what I had to do. I had to look at, I'd go through this computer program. I would look at 17 screens in 10 seconds, and I had to remember what I saw with a 96% accuracy. I couldn't do it. I could do 88. I could do 92. I could do 94. And there's more to that story. I believe the manager of that department didn't like the fact that I like to have fun at work. And so basically when I couldn't do that, they fired me. I asked my boss, not the boss of the department I was working for, you know, how do I describe that? And he said, well, I just put down that you had a lack of work because, well, here's the other thing. Number one, I'm not the only person that has ever been, inadequate at performing that software. That person got moved to another department. I did not. And to make a long story short, I was denied unemployment. When I looked for a job, I found some. In fact, I've had 5 jobs that were very excited. Oh, Mr. Jackson, this is going to be a perfect fit. I'm so glad I found you. And then they would ask this question. Oh, you know, by the way, have you ever been convicted of a felony? And I think, no. Or misdemeanor. Oh, I hate the fact that she said or misdemeanor. Because being that I'm an honest guy, and I will stand up for the things that I've done wrong, I would say, yeah. And they'd say, oh, okay, well, when? And I'd say, in March of 2011 is when I was sentenced. Okay, well, Mr. Jackson, I'm sorry to say. So you're looking for a job. You have somebody who has just delighted that they found you. It's a company you'd like to work for. And then, oh, by the way, I forgot to ask. And they would rip it out of your hands. This was like a cruel joke. I had five headhunters on a Saturday morning call me at one after the other. Phillips was the company. Hey, we saw your thing online. Loved your resume. Would love to talk to you. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, have you ever been convicted of a felony or a misdemeanor? Okay, that's fine. Well, I mean, people make mistakes. When? March of 2011. Oh. So again, I say, kiddies, stay out of the legal system. And when they tell you that, hey, it's just one step above a traffic ticket, no, no, no. I've never lost a job because I turned right from the center lane. Right? When my wife packed up her daughter and drove her to college, I volunteered to come watch the dogs, and things went okay when she got back. So we talked about it, and I decided to stay. Now, at that point, I was trying to be a podcast consultant full-time because, well, I kept finding jobs and having them ripped out of my hand. So it wasn't that I really decided to be a podcast consultant. It was like, well, I've got to sell myself doing something, and the one thing I'm good at is this. Now, that was good, and I had some clients. The bad news is I didn't have enough clients. And so things got really, really nasty, and there were bills that I was supposed to be paying, like the phone bill, and couldn't. There were things I was supposed to be paying, like my car payment, and I wasn't. And so as I stand here today on December 23rd, I haven't made my November car payment yet. And they're getting a little impatient. Now, the good news is I have found a job working for a company that I've wanted to work with for $10,000 less, basically $9,000 less than I was making before. That's what's kind of stinky, but it has potential for a really cool future. And the good thing is apparently they don't do background checks. Not that, you know, people deserve a second chance. And anyway, so things right now, though, are not okay. Because I wasn't paying the bills, my wife and I have moved into an apartment for two reasons. Number one, when I got married, we had three stepchildren, and now we have one. One has moved out to get her own apartment because she's getting married next June. One is in away at college, and that leaves us with the boy. So in December, we moved into the apartment, and we are struggling to keep our marriage together. It's going to be my wife, myself, and the boy. And it turned out, and here's where I get into trouble, because now we're talking about the present. It turned out that my wife had told my stepson a couple weeks before we moved that I wasn't moving into the apartment. Now, the interesting thing is she told me this news 2 days before we moved, which didn't really give me a whole lot of time to move into a new place. And the fact that my stepson voiced extreme displeasure about me sticking around. Ouch. So, and the reason for, I don't think he has a problem with me. He has a problem with the fact that my wife and I argue all the time about really stupid stuff. And I'm not sure why that is. I'll give you an example. When we moved, there were some of my clothes were in his closet. And some of them are shirts I only wear when I play out with my band. And she said, I've never seen you wear these. And I said, I didn't know they were in his closet. That's why I didn't wear them. And she said, you ought to throw them away. And I said, No, now that I know they're there, I'll wear them when I play out. Why don't you just throw them away? And that it continues from there. So I'm learning now to identify these type of arguments, and I just say, I'm not going to argue about this. Because I'm not sure what the motive is. And that's, we tried this the other day where she was taking you know what? I'm not going to talk about the present. It's just going to get me in trouble. But we have really silly arguments. In fact, we're actually thinking of starting a podcast where we just argue into microphones. With the thought being that eventually we're going to get this right and stay married. Let's hope so. The good news is in December, actually last week, my probation was moved to inactive for good behavior. And I can now start the process of getting this thing off my record in the strange event that I were to get laid off again. So that would be kind of cool. I don't know how long it takes. I think it takes as long as you were on probation to get it off. I think you have to wait that. So if, let's see, I was on probation from March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. So that was 9 months. So I would have to wait 9 months before I can get that expunged from my record. So to wrap this up, we had an argument that had many